Chapter 17.
In front of Luke, the scopes and displays glowed softly as the diagnostic messages, most of them bordered in red, scrolled past. Beyond the displays, through the canopy, he could see the X-Wing's nose, lit faintly by the sheen of distant starlight. Beyond that were the stars themselves, blazing all around him with cold brilliance, and that was all. No sun, no planets, no asteroids, no cometary bodies, no warships, transports, satellites, or probes. Nothing. He and R2 were stranded, very literally in the middle of nowhere. The computer's diagnostic package came to an end. R2, he called. What have you got? From behind him came a distinctly mournful electronic moan, and the droid's reply appeared on the computer scope. That bad, huh? R2 moaned again, and the computer's summary was replaced by the droid's own assessment of their situation. It wasn't good. Luke's reverse triggering of the acceleration compensator had caused an unanticipated feedback surge into both hyperdrive motivators. Not enough to fry them on the spot, but scorching them badly enough to cause sudden failure 10 minutes into their escape. At the point four the ship had been doing at the time, that translated into approximately half a light year of distance. Just for good measure, the same power surge had also completely crystallized the subspace radio antenna. In other words, Luke said, we can't leave, we aren't likely to be found, and we can't call for help. Does that about sum it up? R2 beeped in addition. Right, Luke sighed. And we can't stay here. Not for long, anyway. Luke rubbed a hand across his chin, forcing back the sense of dread gnawing at him. Giving in to fear would only rob him of the ability to think, and that was the last thing he could afford to lose at this point. All right, he said slowly. Try this. We take the hyperdrive motivators off both engines and see if we can salvage enough components to put together a single functional one. If we can, we remount it somewhere in the middle of the aft fuselage where it can handle both engines. Maybe where the S-foil servo actuator is now. We don't need that to get home. Possible? R2 whistled thoughtfully. I'm not asking if it'll be easy, Luke said patiently as the droid's response came up. Just if it would be possible. Another whistle. Another pessimistic message. Well, let's give it a try anyway, Luke told him, unstrapping his restraints and trying to wriggle around in the cramped confines of the cockpit. If he pulled off the back of the ejection seat, he would be able to get into the cargo compartment and the tools stored there. R2 warbled something else. Don't worry, I'm not going to get stuck, Luke assured him, changing his mind and reaching for the in-cockpit pouches instead. The gloves and helmet seals for his flight suit were stored there. It'd be just as easy at this point to gear himself for vacuum and then get into the cargo compartment through its underside hatch. If you want to be helpful, you might pull up the maintenance specs and find out exactly how I go about getting one of those motivators out. And cheer up, will you? You're starting to sound like 3PO. R2 was still jabbering indignantly over that characterization when the last of Luke's helmet seals cut off the sound. But he did sound less frightened.